I'm so excited to have a new guest on the show this week. Her name is Rachel Lopez, and she is not just a marketer. She's an intentional entrepreneur on a mission to revolutionize the way heart-driven business owners approach their marketing. As the founder of Gal Marketing, Rachel creates intentional marketing plans that go beyond algorithms and metrics while providing sustainable marketing solutions that feel good for her clients. That resonates here at Plum & Parcel. Get ready to discover the secrets behind Rachel's approach as she empowers business owners to thrive in the ever-evolving world of marketing. Rachel and I recently got acquainted when she reached out about joining the podcast. I couldn't wait to say yes to her and have her come speak, especially on this hot topic, which is building and starting an email list. So please help me welcome Rachel to the show. Welcome to the Marketing Your Purpose podcast. I'm Austin, a marketing and PR gal and small business owner, passionate about enabling purpose-driven businesses to be seen and heard through my purpose-giving gifts. If you're an entrepreneur, marketing leader, or work-from-home boss lady that's tired of crafting campaigns and pitching stories that feel purposeless and in need of a reminder of who you were purposely created to market for, you're in the right place. Inside this podcast, you'll find basic integrated marketing and PR tips that break through the darkness, thoughtful plans to help you launch and sustain your purpose-built thing, encouragement in helping you live by your values in and outside your workplace, and much more. So friend, if you're ready to drive more light into this world by simply marketing your purpose, turn up the volume, grab your coffee, and let's dig in. Wanting more after this episode? Join my email list by hopping over to plumandparcel.com. There you'll be the first to know when our latest podcast episode drops, as well as get access to what's on the horizon for P&P, including fun freebies, marketing tips, and e-course offerings. All right, enough of the small talk. Let's get to it. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Your Purpose podcast. I am so excited today because we have a guest on the line. Her name is Rachel Lopez, and she is the gal behind Gal Agency, and she is going to be talking to us about email marketing today. And I'm just thrilled to have found each other online through the interwebs and to just have her expertise with us today. She's going to be dropping some great nuggets. So without further ado, I'm going to give Rachel the floor for this conversation and just get ready for some really great wisdom around starting and owning an email list. That's what we will be talking about today. So Rachel, I'm going to throw it to you. Tell us a little about yourself and your professional background and your business.
Yeah, well, first I have to say I'm just such a fan of the podcast. I'm honored to be a guest and I've been listening to it for a little bit now and I'm just like, I just love every episode. So had to fangirl a little bit there. But I am a 10-year marketer in the left corporate kind of corporate escapee world and then made it to like running my business. This is year four for me. So email marketing is living, breathing kind of my expertise. And it is one of those things that I'm just so excited to talk about. I know email isn't a very sexy topic, but hopefully today we can kind of like run through some of the areas that are typical roadblocks for people to get started and can shine a little bit more like excitement on the topic that it doesn't feel as sexy as other topics like social media or things like that. So excited to jump on in.
Well, and email marketing is such a beautiful tool where social media and maybe these more glamorous methods of marketing are for those building that lead list and helping you bring people into your email marketing, building that list. And so, yes, maybe those may be more glamorous, but it's the nurturing process, the getting to someone to really understand who you are as a brand, a business, an individual, that email marketing allows a little more of that connection piece. And maybe maybe you disagree on that. Maybe you have other ideas on what email can do for you, but I love that for our own personal use. It's just an opportunity to really connect every time we send a newsletter to our audience, to our list, for them to truly get a deeper understanding of what we're about. So, I want you to take the floor here. So tell me a little bit more about your business and how long you've been running it, how you got it off the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, so started in the big, I would call the online boom of 2020. Very terrifying to kind of jump into a space that, the world is kind of closing in around us. But I started this business and it felt so aligned in just my overall purpose. And I really focus on that intentional marketing like side of things. Like, I think everything in business should be done with a purpose and done with a like an intentionality behind it. And it's one of those things that's kind of how I started my business in that sense that I really wanted to be focused on helping women founders or women business owners create like impactful campaigns without just going through the motions of sending a newsletter or, creating a lead magnet and things like that. So I really focused in on that side of my niche, which was like women business owners. Then I started getting a little bit more niched and like intentional about helping in the like health and wellness space. I supported a lot of dietitians, some fertility specialists and like pelvic floor specialists as well, as kind of like one of my clients calls me the fertility email marketer. And I'm like, well, I haven't coined that yet, but it is definitely a space that it feels really aligned. So 4 years into marketing now, or 4 years into business, I've really refined the levels of support that I think people need. And I think it's one of those things that starting can feel really daunting of creating all the offers and doing all of the various things and market research and all of that. But when you really kind of have that like marketer background, it kind of helps supporting business and growing a business in a way that is super intentional. So I've always tried to lean a little bit more in that direction as well.
Yeah, it's great to have a viewpoint of the entire marketing ecosystem and having that experience, knowing that there are other players happening at the same time, but to come with your expertise and to really get into that niche of email marketing, and especially now it sounds like certain clients you're taking on, that really makes you stand out of what you have to offer versus, another marketer out in the online space. So that's what I saw of what you could bring to this audience is really to tackle how it is that you help these female founders, these small businesses excel in this space. So I'm really excited for our listeners to hear. We talked about these three key questions that any one of these women who may be listening should be asking themselves when starting their own email list. So I'd love for you to talk about what those three questions are. And then maybe we can dive into examples of what that would look like for different businesses at different stages, what level they're at. So first of
Yeah.
all, what are the three questions?
The three questions to ask yourself when you are starting your business, it's really going to be focused in on three specific areas. So where you're at in your business, what can your email list do for you? And then how does your email list actually fit into the ecosystem that you're building across your marketing plans and calendar and all of that?
So, I mean, these are all great questions, and I'm really excited to understand how, like, for myself or for another business or a client, a partner, how they would sit there and how they would ask these to themselves and how they would answer them. So, let's start with, for example, the solopreneur. They're getting started. They're in year one through three, and they're wondering, okay, what is this going to do? What is starting an email list going to do for me?
Yeah, so in that like beginning stages, solopreneur, I always try to give a little bit of like brackets of like year zero to year like one and a half. I really focus on like building marketing habits there. So making the messy mistakes that you would make with a smaller list, like get that out of the way instead of having 500 plus, 600 or like 1,000 plus on your list and then starting to get used to it. Like it feels less daunting when you have around 100 or less people, and you can make that, like A/B testing experience. You can figure out the tone, the story, right? Like the storytelling and all of those different areas. And I would say make those mistakes early. So when you're in that starting phase of business, you really want to be focused on just building those consistency habits. So starting that newsletter, really attracting specific people in. When you're in that first stage of business, your business changes dramatically. So it's not so much about learning how to sell with your email list, but it's learning how to use it as a tool that fits across the board within your, you know, plans, within social, with all of that. So really understanding that it may not be your initial conversion point, but it really is going to be powerful. If you learn how to send your newsletters, you learn how to build that consistency kind of backbone that the marketing habits can really structure in your business. And then just getting used to what works, what doesn't work. I always try to say, like, what feels good to you. If you're sending an email and you're like, I kind of felt like it was a little too salesy, which is something that so many people come and tell me, like, I don't want to sound salesy. I'm like, well, you got to try out certain things. You got to like really come back to yourself and say like, well, how did that feel? You're like, didn't feel good. And then you can adjust and move forward. So year zero to one and a half, I always say really just experiment. Like the whole thing is an experiment when it comes to marketing and figuring out what resonates, what doesn't, and all of that.
Okay. So then you're scaling your business and you have a good list here. Now what should you be focused on?
Now you should really be like refining your efforts. So if you're kind of at a point where you have a good solid like core offer, you should really be figuring out like where does your, like what tool does your email list serve in that time. So I always call them inbound flows. So, and this is like a rebranded term for like lead magnets, welcome sequences, and all of that. But if you can get really intentional with your inbound flow, you can control so much of the narrative by saying, I know exactly who I'm calling into my list. I'm going to give them the most perfect experience. I say it's like the curated experience that you would want to give your dream lead in the DMs, where you're answering all their questions, you're serving them the right content, all of those things. And you're kind of crafting this experience that is bringing people in a way that is super, super intentional. So if you're in that phase where you've figured out how to get a couple hundred people onto your list, you really should refine down into creating a specialized lead magnet, really working on that like welcome sequence, nurture sequence to then get those conversions started. Maybe not optimize and refine, but like at least started.
Okay. And so for either of these, the lead magnet, first of all, is how do you even come up with your lead magnet? And that might be a question people might be having. And explain what a lead magnet is too. Just like explain what it is. How do you come up with one? And then even the sequences, explain what a sequence is and why that's important.
Yeah. So the lead magnet, I always try to like explain through like the law of reciprocity. So specifically, or I guess more generally, if you have someone who is like asking for information. So if I'm saying, what's your email address? And most people in like the day that we're in with like, you know, hackers and spam and all of that, like they're really protective of their like information. So you want to give them something that is in exchange for that. So the lead magnet is where that comes in. So really using that psychology of the law of reciprocity by saying, I'm going to take really good care of you. Look, I'm giving you something that's really valuable here. All I need is your first name, email, and all of that. And so that's kind of the initial exchange. So when it comes to actually like creating the idea of the lead magnet, it comes in that intentionality of that inbound flow. Like, who do you want to call in? What are they struggling with? What are some of the questions that they need asked before they can get to the point of conversion? So certain areas, it takes a lot of like brainstorming, kind of a little bit of refinement, you know, some guides or PDFs that work really well that has free resources. Those are absolutely fabulous, but making sure they're super intentional in a way that like solves a particular problem in that problem awareness kind of like spectrum, and making sure that you can kind of like hook their attention to get them through to that next like stage in the awareness cycle. So yeah, that's kind of the lead magnet. I want to let that marinate before we jump into the welcome sequence. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I personally understand lead magnets. I understand the ability to offer someone something in return for getting that information. That is how I think there's absolutely no way not to do that at this point with email marketing, is to serve up something free. But yes, making it very, very, it's something that's going to fill a gap that they don't have, that's, it has to be value driven for them. Like there's no other way that they're going to sign up. So definitely understand the value of a lead magnet, a free resource to get folks to opt in. Then moving on to, once they have opted in, what is a welcome sequence? What is what does that also for a business owner, even from an automation standpoint, how that is helpful. So both from the individual coming in, the value that a sequence brings, explain that value, but also for the person behind who's actually creating this, the automation, how that brings a lot of value for a small team or a small business as well.
Yeah, I think that's one of those like overlooked areas, but it really does save so much time from having to have that conversation separately with all of the various people coming into your space. If you can put a validated message out there and really trust that, like, when someone takes this action, they're going to get this experience. It's one of those things that, like, it doesn't resonate most with a lot of people because they don't see that value until they actually see it. They're like, I know what a welcome sequence is. I know what this is. But if you're unfamiliar with a welcome sequence, it's really can be exchanged with like a couple different like words. So funnel used kind of synonymously, but it's not exactly the same. A nurture sequence also synonymous with it, but it's not, it's like they're little pieces of it. So initially the welcome sequence is that first interaction with someone on your list. So I typically average it out to be 5 to 7 emails that they initially get. And it's like an isolated experience. They're not getting your newsletters. They're not getting any other emails. They're just getting this like 5 to 7 email experience. And they're kind of going through it based on the purpose of the lead magnet. So I always specify that because not everybody email list is, their purpose is the same. Sometimes it's to drive traffic. Sometimes it's for engagement. Sometimes it's conversion. So really understanding the ultimate purpose before you start writing your welcome sequence is kind of key. One of the biggest mistakes that I see is people tend to make it all about the business owner. So like if it's my welcome sequence, it's not supposed to be about me. It should be about the person and entering into that sequence. And that's something that a lot of people find kind of difficult because it's very easy to write about myself, right? But it's not easy to speak to the writer or speak to the reader in a way that's going to then kind of push them a little bit further through whatever the purpose and experience is. So initial touch point, definitely super curated. I always think of it as like a coffee chat with someone that, you know, depending on what your goal is of that coffee chat, that's exactly how you would show up in that conversation.
So, so helpful. Thank you for all that. So many good nuggets there. You did make the comment of depending on what your goal is, that's your welcome sequence is going to be created off of that. So for the year 0 to 3 or even still newer, fresh business that's growing the list, where their goal is just to get into that flow and not so much converting. It's more of just building the list, building traffic to the list, getting people to routinely know that you're going to be sending emails their way. For the business that's a little further along, steady, is managed operation, maybe even a corporation, they're making maybe well over 7 figures, and someone that's really interested in just upping their email marketing strategy, their email list. So they're moving away from more so that just the, they're moving closer to that conversion piece, or wanting exactly, that's exactly what they want, is to convert more of their email list. What is, what's that, what does that look like for them as far as their, what should they be working on at this point with their strategy?
Yeah. So typically those people in that kind of like scaled version of their business, they have perfected the initial inbound flow. They probably have several inbound flows depending on their customer journey. And essentially what their email list is doing to support them is like being that, like essentially a Zapier tool, like being that automation tool to kind of take someone that says, oh, you made this purchase, let me upsell you here, without the business owner having to be like, let me plan a strategic like upsell campaign here. It's all this very automated type of customer journey. It's focusing on kind of like building client retention, customer lifetime value, and all of those aspects. So the goals are very different depending on where you're at in your business. I've seen a lot of people who are in that first year of business and they try to build this kind of customer journey type thing. And it's like, you can, but you're probably going to rebuild it several times because of the rate that business grows and kind of evolves and all of that. But once you're established, you have that like signature offer, you have those validated conversions, it really comes down to the automations and the analytics where you're going to probably spend your most time at. So building out those points, I always use personally, and this is a question that I get all the time of like, what platform do you recommend? And the one that for those kind of bigger seven-figure businesses in the more like service provider, like coaching space, I always default to ActiveCampaign. In the more e-commerce space, it's always kind of a Klaviyo type tool. So they're designed for that technical automation ability. If you're in that year zero to two kind of thing, you can easily do what you need to do in a ConvertKit, in Flowdesk. I know some people hate MailChimp, but MailChimp also does the job in that time as well. So there are certain areas that you will evolve into a bigger platform once your needs become more complex.
I was going to get your the platforms, the service providers, you email service providers you use or you recommend or you know people are using. So thank you for dropping those. We are currently using Flowdesk just based off not needing a too extensive tool at this point. But yeah, there is obviously lots of resources, lots of platforms out there for the, depending on, again, your goals and the type of business you're running. So thank you for that, that little download. I love to hear, since you are year four, what is your email list doing for you right now and your biz right now, and how is it doing that?
So my business right now, or my email list, is really supporting the conversion into retainer side of things. So it's really focused on a very specific amount of conversions per year or per quarter. So it's one of those that I'm very, very intentional with my like list cleaning. I'm very intentional with my segmentation, which I think a lot of people can get very overwhelmed about. So I make sure I know exactly where, you know, where you're at in your email list journey and the offers that I can then serve you at that point. I also have some really great like nurture points in there. I wouldn't consider myself the seven-figure scaled version of it. However, I do treat it like that, where I have specific actions that take place at certain points. But then I'm not telling anyone to behave like me in this sense, because it is the kind of pathway to overwhelm if you don't know what you're doing and if you don't have a need for that. I'm always the test guinea pig of my own like assets and stuff and messaging and strategies before I bring them out to like my clients and do all of that. So it's kind of how I use my list right now, is really from a conversion point, but also like to try things out to see, you know, what strategies work, what strategies aren't working and all of that. So it is kind of fun. But it is something that you know, it's going to grow into a place that is a little bit more educational in the future. Like I have it in my annual plan that Q4 of this year, the list is going to pivot. So it's really fun when you can kind of build your email list into your business goals and the business seasons that you're in. So I'm a total nerd when it comes to this. So it's probably not like people are like, oh gosh, she's kind of strange, but
no,
it's
your expertise. That's it's like, it's hard probably when you have all this knowledge to, as you were mentioning, when you're building your business, it's like, well, if the business is going to change multiple times, I can build all this now because you know what, you know, what works, what doesn't, but also you just walked us through that you are talking yourself down a little bit of like, okay, let's not do all of this right now because it doesn't make sense for where we're at and where I'm at in my business right now. Even though I know I could do it, even though I know I could start building those things, it doesn't make sense right now. So I certainly relate to that with everything that we do from a marketing standpoint and PR standpoint over at Plum and Parcel. It's like, oh my gosh, I'd love to do all of this. Does it make sense right now? No. Well, maybe we will eventually get there, but right now it does not make sense. So super helpful. Is there an example that you would love to share, like to share a client, just a client that you are currently working with? You don't have to share who they are, but just what they're, how you're helping build their email list, again, where they're at, just as one more example of what this looks like.
Yeah, I'll give kind of an example because I work with businesses in the three categories that we gave. So very quickly, in the very earlier stages, I really focus on that like essentials strategy of like what the core components you are. And so I focus on like newsletter strategies. It's something that people really get really in the hole with. And they're like, oh, I give up. Email marketing doesn't work for me. Like you just need a framework, a frequency, and some guidelines on what to talk about. So that's something I do with most of my clients, depending on where they're at. For the larger side of clients, really focusing in on that like integrative, like multiple flow type thing. So conversion tracking. I have clients that have conversions from 25% to 41% based off of where things are coming at from like triggered places in their emails. And they're just kind of like able to release some of that pressure that is not needed to show up on social and sell and convert on there. Like they have these trusted systems that are now in their business that they're like, wow, like now I can spend more time in a different zone of genius, or I can prioritize one thing. Like two of my clients are now writing books, which is mind blowing to me because they have that capacity that they don't have to sell now because they're like, oh, I can just do this now. So it's fun to see them evolve, and it's fun to see them just trust these systems that I put into place for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just the progress of from, I'm sure, where they were feeling very overwhelmed to being like, oh, thank you. I don't even have to think about this anymore. So that's pretty incredible. Okay, so now how are you managing your own email marketing, even though we just talked about automation? But how do you do this alongside all the other needs of your business, from sales, operations, finances, all the things? I also want to talk about just how you do that with your life as well, of managing the business with life. But just in general, first with your email marketing, how do you balance that with the other needs of the business?
Yeah, like I think any other business owner, your own zone of genius in your own business is often neglected and kind of put to a place. So the things that I always like honor first is my capacity. So this is something when it comes to newsletters that I say, you do not have to be a weekly, like you will never hear me as an email marketer saying you need to send weekly, you need to send daily, anything like that. I always say your frequency aligns with your capacity. So I'm very honest with my capacity. I send bi-weekly newsletters out there, and I have a very structured framework that, one, that I roll out to all my clients, but two, that I embrace myself. So making sure that I follow that, it's easy. I'm a big believer in that. If it's not manageable, it's not sustainable. So it's always really rooted in what's my capacity, what's the intention behind this, what goal is it serving, and kind of like getting rid of the fluff. Like I always tell people, just stop with the shoulds in business. We're not doing the shoulds anymore. So kind of removing all of that is kind of how I manage my many clients and my own side of things so that it feels really sustainable and that it's super intentional too, because I'm not some spectacular business owner. I struggle with tasks and burnout and everything just like everyone else. But if you find what works for you and you find what feels really good for you, kind of leaning into that first, and then also prioritizing like wellness and health, like mental health is really important too, to make sure it's sustainable.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about that too, just how important prioritizing all the other pieces of you are in your day to day, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in the business and be putting all your effort and time into it. And then being like, I'm depleted. Where's all the freedom that comes with owning your own business? So it is that it requires that intentionality, that time to allot to yourself and make sure that you are prioritizing the other things that are so important to you beyond the business. So how are you doing that? How are you taking care of your personal health, your mental health, your emotional health? How are you doing that?
Yeah, I always try to live in the analogy that I wear two hats in business. I wear many, many hats, but I have my CEO hat and I have my employee hat. And there are some things where CEO, like you have to get it done. You got to kind of push the like level of business. The employee hat can easily log off at 5 o'clock, can easily step back. I have my PTO because legally my business has to give it to me, kind of things. Like I really try to embrace that corporate structure that a lot of people I think miss when they go to their business and they kind of feel consumed and all consumed by, you know, the pressures of it. And I go, well, I'm just an employee. I can close my laptop. I can, you know, step away. I'm given my hour designation for lunch, and kind of like live in that space to make sure that it doesn't feel super, super overwhelmed. Like obviously there are late nights sometimes, but that's when I am the CEO, not the employee. And it distinguishes it in my brain that it's super easy that way, rather than being like constantly the CEO and burnt out and exhausted and all of that. So it's definitely like a little thing that I always remind myself, like, you are the employee, log off. It's time to end the day.
I absolutely love that. That is just a great way to have that mindset of you're not CEO all the time. You can take a break. You need to go take your lunch break. You need to go take your like 15 walk break or around the house or outside or so yes, I love that. So thank you so much. This has been a lovely conversation, super helpful for my own business's own email list building process. And I know it will be so fruitful for a lot of our listeners here today. So where can they find you if they'd like to learn more?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at instagram.com/gal.agency or gal-agency.com. If you listen to this episode, I would love for you to kind of stop by it on Instagram and just say hey, because it's always fun to, you know, hear people's feedbacks and the downloads that come after I share all of this stuff. So I'm always open to it and I would love to hear it.
Yes, I recommend anyone going over and hitting Rachel up if you have any questions in this space. She's the expert here. So thank you so much, Rachel, for being on the show, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, friend. If this podcast inspired you, encouraged you, or helped you feel more purposeful, the biggest thank you would be to leave a quick review on Apple iTunes, reshare on social media, tagging my team and me at Plum and Parcel, or pop this episode over to a friend via text, letting them know that this podcast might have a positive impact on their life too. I hope to meet you back here real soon. Now go out into the world and start marketing your purpose. See you next time.